Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to have Shirley back, or Mom, as I like to call her. It's going to be nice to have some piano music on a Wednesday night. We haven't had that for a while. And I'm sure she has all sorts of adventures to tell us about, and we'll hear about those later. But we're going to sing some songs for a while. We're going to worship the Lord. But of course, before we do that, we do need to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, asking that thy perfect will be done, asking, O God, that thou wouldst lead us in the way that we need to go. Guide and direct our steps. Guide and direct us down the paths of thy righteousness for thy name's sake, Lord. We ask that thou wouldst be with us every step of the way, that thou wouldst help us, that thou wouldst guide us and lead us, we pray this evening. And we ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be here upon each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, fill us with thy Spirit, Lord. Let there be a mighty movement of thy Spirit here today. And we ask, O God, that thou inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right. Well, why don't we start with number 83 in the chorus book, From the Rising of the Sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be of the sun to the going down. sun to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And what is that name of the Lord that we should be praising day and night? Well, it's Jesus. Why don't we go to number 22 and sing Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and that is the name above every other name. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we look across the page and sing number 25, Let Go and Let God Have His Way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you know, it seems appropriate to sing number 47 after that one. Lord, make me what I ought to be.
Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We do need Him to make us what we ought to be. He's the only one who can do it, and we would be completely helpless without Him. So why don't we go to number 91 and sing without Him.
Without Him, I could. drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I shudder to think where we would be without Him. Praise the Lord. It is such a wonderful thing to know that He is with each and every one of us, and He has promised He would never leave us. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to take up the collection. Then we'll sing one more song, and then we'll let Shirley get started. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many bountiful blessings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power. We thank Thee that Thou hast kept us for so many years, for we know that we could only be here with Thy help, with Thy guidance, with Thy direction. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast kept us. And we pray, O God, that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy name and Thy kingdom. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight. And we also pray that Thou hast blessed those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well,
We're going to sing one more song before we turn it over to Shirley. And why don't we sing number 157, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see us, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory
to God. Well, on that note, we'll turn it over to Shirley. Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have so much to praise the Lord for. Amen, amen. And you know, it is so dear to get into God's presence. I'll tell you what, I know Jane was telling me that this was while I was still on the road, and she's telling me that she was with the bird professor, and she was in the living room there with him and singing, and she noticed that the little bird was trying to raise its leg. And you know, I just thought that was so dear. You know that bird worships the Lord. You know, I've mentioned this before. I'm often at the piano in that room there, and you know what? He worships God with me. And I can't see him because my back is away from him. But you know what? That bird knows more than most people. You know, God has given us two hands to raise to the Lord. He's given us two hands to raise to God and to worship and to praise him. That bird doesn't have hands, you know, but what does he have? He has a foot, and he raises it to God. Now listen, you know, Jesus said if you know, these would hold their peace, that even the stones would cry out. Listen, we've got to give God our hearts. How do we do that? We do that by worshiping him, by praising him, by exalting him, by letting him yield us to himself so that we can be his, so we can do the things that please him. So, you know, we can know what it's like to serve the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to give it all to Jesus Christ. Listen, it is time. He's looking for a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he's looking for that, you know. And listen, if we're going to hold our peace, yes, the stones are going to cry out. The birds are going to cry out. Yes, the little professor is going to cry out. Listen, somebody's going to worship God. You know, he made us. We're his children. And if we're going to hold our peace, then who is going to worship him? You know, if you're full of sin and living for the devil, you can't worship God. You know, your life isn't going to please him. It's going to be all amok. And, you know, even though you might try, it's not going to get to first base. But he's looking for a people that are pure in heart, that have given their lives to the Lord, that have repented and turned away from sin and living for him, to praise him. Oh, to give him that first place in our heart. And that's what he requires. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from us. And wow, you know what a difference it makes when we really yield to the Lord and give him our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, wow, if these should hold their peace, even the very stones would cry out. Oh, wow, it's time. It's time to worship him. He gave us that ability. He gave us a voice so we can vocalize, so we can express. You know, he gave us a mind so we can think. And praise the Lord, he gave us hands so that we can worship him. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we could worship him here tonight. You know, it's really good to be here and be at my piano. I miss the piano. I did have one Sunday where I was in Butte and with a dear family there in Butte, and Vicky got out a little electronic piano, a little Yamaha, and praise the Lord, did we ever have a time. Oh, we had a time. We must have worshipped and sang and praised the Lord for maybe 2 hours, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was so good. And oh, surely there's so much to praise the Lord for. He is worthy of our praise, and we don't know the full of it right now. We just see bits and pieces. We just know a little bit, but we know one thing. He has redeemed us. We're not of the world. We've been called out. We've got something to live for. We've got something to die for. We've got truth. We've got so much. Listen, I've been around a little bit, and I see people, and listen, they're lost. Even people that claim to know the Lord, they're lost. Most always, they're lost. But God has given us something. Oh, if you know the ransom of the Lord, have a reason to praise Him and to worship Him, to cry out in worship. He's given us something joyful to express, you know, with all our hearts. You know, He has made us glad. Amen. He delivered us out of this world, out of sin. And oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let's just go into prayer right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You've done in our hearts, in our lives. Oh, God, how You bought us with a price, Lord. How You redeemed us, Lord. Oh, God, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, we thank You for that price that You paid, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your long-suffering, Your kindnesses to us, Lord. More than we could remember, more than we could ever thank You for. But, God, we come to You, Lord. We ask, O Lord, that You work in us tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that Your word would have, oh, Lord, its free course. Lord, and that You work in our hearts. Oh, God, that You'd set us free from every hindrance. Oh, God, every binding spirit, everything that tries to interfere with our walk with You, Lord. I pray that You'd make us free here tonight. I pray that You'd give us free praise and worship and, oh, God, the ability to exalt You and to honor You. Oh, God, to lift up our voices and praise to You, and God, to live a life that's pleasing to You, Lord, to do Your will. Oh, God, to stand for that which is right and good, God. Oh, God, to live above sin. I pray that You talk to us here tonight. Oh, God, that You guide, direct. Oh, God, that You move in us. God, that You set us free, Lord, from everything, oh, Lord, that would try to interfere. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, set us free, Lord. Oh, God, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. God, I pray that You give us that freedom, that desire, oh, God, to worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Oh, we thank You, Lord. I pray that You would be with us. Oh, God, bless these people online and all that will hear this message. I pray, oh, God, that You'd have Your way now, Lord, that You'd give me words. And, oh, God, that You'd talk to our hearts. Oh, God, that we might, oh, Lord, live in this world, but be, oh, Lord, free from sin and live and worship You and praise You, God. Oh, God, according to Your will and directive, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians here. Read some verses here in the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. If you would turn there with me, and we'll go to that. Oh, praise the Lord. He has been good. I'll say He has been good. You know, we didn't see any accidents on the road, and we didn't get into any real horrible traffic, and you know, He just kept us going. We didn't have any incidents, and you know, it's around a lot of curvy mountains and all kinds of things, but God has been good. He has been so good, and thank You for Your prayers too. I do want to thank everybody who prayed for me while I was gone. It was a bit of an adventure. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here we are, 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't think we can half imagine how it was before the Lord breathed upon this world and said, "Let there be light." I don't think we can half imagine that gross darkness that covered this world. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I don't know that we can imagine that. The earth was empty. It was void. There was nothing there, and it was dark. And it talks about the face of the deep, so it must have been like a watery substance, and something without form. And here it was, just, you know, so void of any substance. But God said, "Let there be light." And all at once, there was light. There was light. Things began to change. And so much more, you know, the spiritual darkness that was in this world until Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene so that we might know what it is to have the light of His countenance shining on our lives, directing us, leading us, guiding us, giving us knowledge. Oh, what a difference it made. Praise the Lord. And we know that Jesus Christ came as the light of this world, as it says in Matthew, the 5th chapter, if we just go there quickly. Matthew 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Of course, yes, God breathed into our soul that spiritual life so that we could reflect His light, the light that He has given us. And so others can have hope. Others can see Jesus in us. And, you know, we don't ever want to be like that person that takes that light that has shined to us and put it under a bushel so that nobody can see, so nobody can tell, nobody knows we're a Christian. I mean, it's like that a lot. You know, how many people can you tell are Christians? You know, even if possibly they've had some experience with the Lord, does it show? Oh, so many people put that light under a bushel instead of on a candlestick. But you know, that city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, if that light that is in us is the Lord Jesus, then it's going to show. It's going to show so that people can see Him through us. They can see the good works that we do through the Lord Jesus and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But here, back in 2 Corinthians, it tells how we've been delivered. We've been set free. We've received mercy. We're not going to faint. We have renounced those hidden things of dishonesty. We're not going to walk in craftiness if our life is given to the Lord, or God forbid that we would handle the word of God deceitfully. Oh, God forbid. Because we want to reflect Jesus. And you know, we want to commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And, you know, if we're living a fudged up life, if our walk with God is through deceitfulness and dishonesty and craftiness, then, you know, nobody's going to know that we're a Christian. There's no way that we're reflecting the light that is Jesus Christ. And you know, men are not going to know. They're not going to be able to see. We're not going to be able to help them. And rather, we would be a hindrance to those in finding the gospel. But we want to shine. We want to be that city on a hill that cannot be hid. Because it says in verse 3, If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, we don't want that to happen, do we? We want others to see what Jesus has done for us. And we want them to desire that living water that he's given to us, that living water that he said if, you know, we would ask him for it, we would never thirst again. That Holy Ghost, that Spirit of the living God that he puts in our heart, that we might serve him. Oh, praise the Lord. We want that light to be shown, to be seen, to shine brightly. And I've said so many times that as the days grow darker, how much more a little light is going to glow in the dark. You know, even a little flashlight in a dark room is going to have some light, isn't it? It's going to shine. It's going to give some direction. You know, we're going to be able to see with a little flashlight. And so it is. You know, if we're living for the Lord and if his light is in us, then others are going to see Jesus in us. And it's going to show them the way. We're going to be able to direct them one way or the other. We're going to have words that come to us that we can share with this world that is lost and dying. I'll tell you what, it has been quite a privilege to go about this journey the last 5-6 weeks here. And early in this journey, one point that we experienced, we were in Miles City, Montana, and Brother Tim and I were praying in our room that evening, we were praying together, and I could hear these people outside. There was somebody with a guitar, and he was singing, and there were voices, and, you know, I'd hear some little, you know, points when the singing would stop, and, you know, it sounded like he was telling little stories, and, you know, then I'd hear some laughter, and, you know, obviously, you know, I figured, well, there's an entertainer out there, and he's singing well, and it wasn't obnoxious music, it was pretty nice music, you know, but somehow I just felt like, oh boy, there's something going on, and I just felt like there was a tug in my heart that, you know, somehow I was going to end up participating, you know, and so we prayed for a good space of time, and after that, I went outside, and we began to talk to these people. I guess it was me out there initially, and you know, they asked, they found out where I lived, that I was from Wisconsin, and of course, it seems like immediately when people find out that you're from Wisconsin, they start asking about the Packers, you know, they just assume that you're a Packer fan. And so, I'm sorry, I don't know, I'm not a Packer fan, and I'll just tell them. But anyway, it was amazing, you know, it just led to talking about the Lord. And there were just four different people out there, and the one guy was, you know, he had some booze in his hand, and he was, you know, talking, but he thought he was a Christian, you know, and he was just saying that, you know, how the Holy Ghost is in everybody, you know, and just sputtering on and on and on, you know, and these other people were kind of listening a bit, and you know, Brother Tim came out, and we were both talking, and, you know, just adding to the conversation and saying what we could say, and it came to a certain point that the man that had been doing the singing, he just stopped, and he said, you know, how long has it been since that intensity has been in your heart? And I guess it gave me opportunity to tell my story, to witness to him, to tell him how the Lord had come into my life. And, you know, he asked him the same thing. And he then had his opportunity. And then this man, we found out later his name is Lamar, and he began to say, he says, I've been searching for God. And I've come across people who claim to be Christians, and you know, they've told me this and they've told me that, but, you know, it's never really led to any real, you know, a walk with the Lord, and I've never really been satisfied in my soul. And I'll praise the Lord, you know, it gave us all the more opportunity. We were able to just take this man aside, and it's been quite a bit of time. good hour or so, maybe 2 hours with him and talk to him and pray with him. Of course, give him materials and some contact numbers and just hopefully leaving him in a much better condition than when we first met up. And it was just such a privilege. We saw him the next day before we left that motel and were able to pray with him again and just encourage him. I learned that he was from Fargo, and when we got back toward that direction, called him again, and he was still on the road. He was actually driving a semi at that point. But, you know, we thank the Lord because, you know, he gave us an opportunity to mix with that life, you know, to talk to that person. And I don't know if we hadn't been in deep prayer before that time, and you know, maybe it wouldn't have meant so much. But we thank God because he gave us that opportunity to witness to him and to pray with him and to bring him to the Lord. And that was so good. But that was just one experience, you know. Before we started out, Brother Tim and I were in a co-op in the Minneapolis area. I think it might have been Minnetonka. And actually, we were noticing that that Supreme Court decision, there was a paper there, and it was talking about how that Supreme Court decision had just been passed 5-4, and giving legality to gay marriage. And of course, we were just upset, and we were discussing it and talking about the end of the world and, you know, all the consequences of this. And we didn't realize that there was another guy that was listening to us talk. And this guy happened to be a gay, so-called. And he, after a while, I guess he couldn't stand it any longer. He came and got in our face and started talking to us and called us bigots and started saying, you know what, now it's our turn. Now you guys are going to have to be quiet. You can't, you know, say that we're illegal anymore and we're out of the closet. And, you know, he was just really going on and saying, now you can go to jail for preaching against homosexuality. Oh, I tell you what, I just it stirred our hearts, you know, and I just said, you know what, the Supreme Court, what they really voted against was the Bible. They voted against God. I said, they voted against the Bible. And you know what, I said, you know, one day, sir, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to give an account of your life. And if it isn't according to God's word, then you're going to be condemned, you know. And I don't know how he liked that. I suppose he didn't. You know, he didn't say too much after that. But, you know, I thank God he gave us that opportunity to speak for the Lord and, you know, to stand up for that which is right and good. And I'll tell you what, that spirit has taken over. When we traveled, we could feel that spirit in several places. When we were in Seattle, in Portland, in Spokane, I'll tell you what, we could feel this hardness of heart. And we could see, you know, how proud these people that have come out of the closet are. And, you know, they were right in our face. They were, you know, behaving poorly and you know, just proving themselves, it seemed like, just in front of us. And I'll tell you why, we went to Spokane. We were hoping to pass out a lot of tracts. And we could just feel that hardness. Just real hardness, and offer people a track, and no thank you, no thank you, you know. And finally we just stood by the way there and prayed and asked God, if there's anybody here at all, would you please open up their hearts and send them to us. And it was amazing, because just right after that, this woman comes over to us and says, can I help you? And, you know, it was just an amazing thing, you know. And you know, we mentioned a few things to her, and come to find out, she claimed to be a Christian. And, you know, she was glad to know that we were too. And we had an opportunity to share with her and to give her some materials and talk to her. And she said, I'll give these to some other folks too, you know. And so God brought out somebody there that we could talk to about the Lord, and we were just happy for that. And then, you know, there were some others. There was another man that was passing out tracts too, come to find out. And I couldn't help but wonder, Lord, you know, how long is it? Is there a warning going out? I mean, you know, you could destroy these cities. You destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, and I couldn't help but wonder if perhaps there was very little time left for these cities on the coast who've gone just so wayward in this respect. But we got to another area, and there were just a bunch of people out in this court area, and we stopped by. There's a kind of some people sitting out there. There was a table, and there's a man on one side and a woman on the other side, and Brother Tim was kind of talking to the man, and I started talking to the woman. Well, she was pretty hard initially. She did not want to track. And, you know, I don't know why. I'm usually not this persistent. But with her, I was. You know, Tim was talking to the other guy. He was, you know, a wino. He was sipping on whatever was in his paper bag. And, you know, she, too, had some definite problems. But I just kept on talking to her. And, you know, at one point she said, well, please stop bothering me. I already told you. I don't want to track. You know, I don't want to hear. I don't want to know anything about it. But somehow, I don't know how God did it, but he began to break down that resistance in this woman. He began to break it down. And you see the power of God working in a wayward soul here. And all at once, she broke down. And we were able to pray with her. It was just quite an amazing thing. It's quite an amazing thing. And she said, you know what, she had found a New Testament that day. And that too was quite an amazing thing. And she said it was going to be a great treasure. And I don't know. We prayed with her, and as we went away, she just gave me the greatest, biggest hug. You can't imagine, but you know, that's God. You know, taking this life, and here she was. I dare say she was a homeless woman too, you know, and just very wayward and just gone astray. But, you know, there was God coming to meet her needs, you know, and she could see it. She could recognize it. And she began to realize that we were children of the Lord and that we had something to offer her. And I just can't believe, you know, how God did it. But praise be to God. Praise be to God. You know, and we again, Spokane wasn't much better. And the homosexuals were just out in the parking lots and just flaunting their, you know, togetherness. And it was nasty. It was really nasty. You could feel that. But I believe it was Spokane. We were looking for a tea and went actually into a little mart that somehow came across. It had to be the Lord, you know, but it was kind of like a deli and beverage mart, and you know, it went inside and realized there's an awful lot of booze in here. And wouldn't typically have went in there, but there was a woman in there, and oh, she just looked so put out. She just looked so forlorn and so troubled. And, you know, I thank God I was able to minister to her a bit. And her countenance changed. You know, there's a smile on her face after that. And then we left this place. We left out of the back door. And right against the wall there of the back door, there was a man, a young man, with his dog. And I just felt very compelled by the Holy Ghost to start talking to him. And, you know, again, it just, you know, I asked him, do you know the Lord? You know, have you ever met Jesus Christ? And, you know, it was just really quite an experience. And after talking to him for a while, I realized it was time to pray. And I guess Tim had already gone out to the car, but he saw me. And he said, come on over. We're going to pray for him. And praise the Lord, we prayed for him too. Gave him some materials, were able to minister to him. And, you know, he thanked us. He gave us a hug too, you know, and he said, you know, nobody has ever prayed for me before. You know, it was so touching. It was so touching to know that the Lord had just put us right there for those moments so we could reach those people. You know, in spite of the ugliness in those places, you could feel the depravity, you could feel the sin, you could feel the hardness of heart. But yet, in the midst of all of that, there were some people that could be touched by a loving God and could respond to the gospel. Oh, I'll tell you what, it was a beautiful thing. It was really rewarding to see that. You know, it was just piece after piece. You know, I think it was Coeur d'Alene. We ended up staying in a motel. It wasn't all that expensive, but I really didn't like it too well. But anyway, I just prayed. I said, God, not too in favor of this place, but I said, maybe there's somebody here that needs to be touched by you. And sure enough, it was the woman at the desk. And you know, I just began to able to minister to her about the Lord. And she was in some trouble, you know. She's saying, well, I don't know, we might have to move and this and that. And, you know, I was just so thankful that, you know, God gave me a little bit of time to talk to her, give her some materials, and, you know, just make God known to her. And praise the Lord, we were in Missoula. And there again, you know, it was really something. The woman who was cleaning our room happened to come in, or my room, I should say, who was cleaning my room, came in, and I'd get to talk to her too. And talked about the Lord, telling her what we were doing, how we were traveling, and on a missions trip, and, you know, how we had baptized some people, and, you know, how we were talking to whosoever we could, and you know, she was quite enthused, and found out that she had some problems, and, you know, thank God we were able to pray with her, too. We were able, you know, to bring her before the Lord, and she began to tell us that there was like a summer fest going on in the city there, and she encouraged us to go down there. You know, she said there's a big carousel there, and there's food, there's music, and, you know, you just, you know, might like to go there and see what's going on. So anyway, the Lord helped us to find that place. Helped us to find a parking spot that wasn't metered, so we didn't have to pay a big bunch of money to park. And then, wow, yeah, we went down there, and first it was right down by the river, and we thought for a while, well, we'd rather go down by the river. But anyway, no, eventually we just, you know, talked to the Lord, and, you know, He gave us opportunity to pass out tracts there. And I'll tell you what, it was amazing because nobody rejected our tracts there in that park in Missoula. They all took them, whosoever we offered them to. That was really amazing. And then met a young man named Eric. And he was a Christian. And, you know, he wanted to talk to us. So praise the Lord, we must have spent an hour and a half or two just talking to Eric. And perhaps we will be able to talk to him again. But, you know, it was amazing how the Lord would lead us, how He would direct our paths, how He would help us. I think we were in Bozeman eating one day, and there it was. We noticed after a little while that the table next to us, there were about 7-8 people sitting at a table, and they were talking. And listen just a little bit, and they were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Listened a little bit more, and they were talking about Nineveh. And, you know, the guy who was leading it kind of looked like a liberal arts college professor or something. And then, you know, I wasn't too convinced that he was really a Christian, you know. And then these others, you know, looked really lost. But praise the Lord, it gave us an opportunity to intrude a little bit there and present ourselves and give them some materials. And again, we just knew that the Lord had sent us there and made an opportunity for us to mingle with these people a little bit and present the gospel to them. You know, I don't know. There might have been one or two out of that group that really were seeking the Lord. So we were just very thankful that God had put us there. You know, I just really amazed. You know, I mean, there's other times when we were at another place one morning, and I gave a tract to the man at the deli, and he said, "Oh, I'm a Christian too." And we were able to share with him. Then we looked around in that eating area, that sitting area there, and come to find out there were a couple in the corner there, and they were obviously having a Bible study. So we went over there too, and you know, they were very glad to meet us. We were able to share with them and give them materials. I sure hope we hear from them. So, you know, it was the Lord directing our steps and guiding us, leading us. You know, not everybody accepted our materials. We had plenty of rejections. But thank God for the things that He did do, the wonderful things that He did do. Praise the Lord. And, of course, we had our baptisms. We met with the Gruders there in the Victor, Idaho area, and they were so kind. They were very hospitable. They fed us, and they paid for our motel rooms, and John's a chiropractor, and he worked on us and did some adjustments, and thank God we found a place to baptize them. And that, too, was pretty marvelous how the Lord just worked that all out. They thought they were going to be baptized in a pond. The pond didn't end up being so nice. But then there was a swimming pool there in a RV park, and that was wonderful. It was just perfect. It was just right, and we got to use that. They gave us permission to come early the next morning and baptize John and Jana and Preston, and thank God for that. It was a wonderful thing, and we did get to do something else. It was really special, something I've always wanted to do. I got to go up to the top of the mountain. and that was pretty neat, too. We were able to take a chairlift to the top of it. It was a skiing area in the winter time, and it was really neat. We got on, you know, those chairlifts, and it was a bit of a ways, but it took us to the very top, and we were able to wander around at the top of the mountain just a little bit, and we could see the Grand Teton Mountain peak from there and some other really spectacular peaks and points at that point. And oh my, flowers are beautiful up there, and it was just so neat. Something I always wanted to do, go to the top of a mountain. So thank the Lord for all of that. Thank God for what He did. And I do also want to explain how we spent some time in Bellingham, Washington. And there Don had severe gout for about 8 weeks. And he could hardly walk, he could hardly move, and any movement he was making was with crutches. And Elaine had been so excited about us coming because she said, "Well, maybe you can anoint him with oil, and maybe the Lord will raise him up." And sure enough, we spent an evening praying with him. And I'll tell you what, the Lord worked. The Lord worked, you know. Tim and I were praying, and Tim encouraged him. After a while, he began to, you know, be able to rise up from his chair. And then we encouraged him to put down those crutches and began to take steps. And pretty soon, you know, he was walking pretty good. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. He is faithful. And the next day, lo and behold, he had some other problem. He seemed to have some acute pain. It was like a severe kidney attack, or kidney stones, or something. And he was all bent over with that. And again, we prayed for him. And God had great mercy, and God delivered him. And he wasn't feeling that after we prayed. And we thank God. We thank God. But you know what I see? And this I've said many times, the necessity to show faith. You know, I'm not so sure that God would have delivered Don if he wouldn't have been willing to put down those crutches, if he wouldn't have been willing to rise up out of his seat. and start walking by faith. I mean, you know, at first, it's just a step of faith. You don't know, you know. We prayed for him, but you know, we know God is faithful, but we didn't positively know what God had done. But that man was able to show faith, and God came through. God began to work, and you know, wow, he was walking pretty good. You know, the Lord honored those steps of faith. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I think of John, the 5th chapter, where there was that impotent man there at the pool of Bethesda. And the scripture tells us there that he'd been there a long time. He'd been there 38 years. And, of course, he was surrounded by many individuals, a great multitude of impotent folk, it tells us, blind, halt, withered, waiting all for the moving of the water. For the scripture tells us that an angel would come down to that water at a certain season there at the pool of Bethesda and trouble the waters. And the first person that would enter into the water would be healed of whatever disease that they had to have. And here was that man that had been laying there for 38 years. He had that infirmity for such a long time, 38 years. Praise the Lord, Jesus saw him there. He knew he'd been there a long time. And Jesus asked him a question. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Of course, this man said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to help me into the pool. But when I'm coming, another steppeth down into the water first before me." But Jesus told him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And praise the Lord, the man didn't, you know, wonder and worry and fuss and wonder, you know, if what Jesus had said was, you know, had any power to it. But the scripture tells us immediately that man was made whole. He got up. He did get up. He did rise. And he did take up his bed, and he did begin to walk. And it was a marvel. The people marveled. They didn't know what to think. But Jesus had done a miracle, didn't he? He did a wonderful miracle. And that man, though he had been hindered so many years, was suddenly enabled to get up and walk at the words of Jesus Christ, at the authority of the Son of God. And of course, that wasn't the only time that Jesus did that. But so often I notice that he gave them something to do to show their faith. You know, in the 9th chapter of John, there was a man who had been blind from his birth. And again, you know, they questioned this. You know, the question was asked, "Master, who didn't make this man to sin? Or how did this man, how was it that he was born blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin?" And of course, Jesus said, "Neither." He said it wasn't that his parents sinned or that this man sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest. And, of course, Jesus did a wonderful work there. In this case, he spat on the ground. And that must have seemed so strange, but that's what he did. And then he took that spit and he made spittle of it. And then he took it and he anointed that blind man's eyes with that clay that he had made. And he told him to do something. He said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And praise the Lord, that man didn't stumble around and wonder and fret and worry and wonder if there was any reason to obey what Jesus had said. But he went and did it, didn't he? He went and did it. He went to that pool of Siloam. And praise the Lord, God honored that faith. He was showing faith as he walked. And when he washed his eyes, he realized that he could see. It was just that simple. God took care of it. But you see, there was an action that he needed to take. He needed to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus knew that this was the best way to handle this situation. And praise the Lord, the man had faith, and God did the rest. God healed him. Now we serve a wonderful God that's fully capable of everything and anything that we could ever ask or think. In the 10th chapter of Mark, there's another blind man. And in this case, this blind man, whose name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, who sat by the highway day after day, I'm sure, begging. But he heard that Jesus was coming to town. He heard that Jesus was passing by. And what welled up in him was to cry out with all his voice and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he kept on, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he kept on crying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And I could imagine it got louder and louder, and some were saying, "Have that man hold his peace. He's bothering us. He's interrupting things. He's making a noise. Jesus, please tell him to hold his peace." But he cried out the more. What was this man doing? He was showing his faith. He was showing his faith. They were trying to tell him to be quiet. Don't interrupt. Don't make a scene. Don't make a noise. But he cried out the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And praise the Lord, it got Jesus' attention. Jesus stood still, it tells us here, and he commanded him to be called. And you know, he told that blind man, he said, "Be of good comfort, rise. He's calling for thee," they told him. And this man quickly came. Jesus said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man gave his request, "Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And again it happened right away, immediately, this man received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. How beautiful. Praise the Lord. We serve a God who can do all things. You know, there's nothing too hard for him. There's no disease too great for our Lord if people will just have faith. We know that Jesus asked that very important question. He said, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith?" There were all these examples during Jesus' ministry of having faith, but so many people don't seem to have faith in this time period that we live in. So many people just want things to be automatic, maybe their own way, not willing to do it the Lord's way. But the Lord has a way to intervene in lives that will fear him and come to him and serve him and give their all to the Lord Jesus. But praise the Lord. You know, it's not just the healings that the Lord did. You know, it's a wonderful ability to share the gospel. And it was really beautiful to be able to minister to so many people. We just never quite knew just in one day who we were going to meet and who our lives were going to mix with at that moment and what God was going to do. But thanks be to God, he brought us opportunities. If only people will have faith in God, there's so much that we can see him do. I know while we were traveling, one day as I was studying, I seemed like the Lord had me turn to Mark, the 6th chapter. And in the 6th chapter, we find out that Jesus was in his own country there. And there in that area, I suppose it was Nazareth, that area, his own country, and there he wasn't able to do all that much. He wasn't able to do too many mighty works there. They just looked at him and said, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they didn't want to hear him. They didn't want to listen, you know. And like a lot of people, when, you know, you offer them a tract or, you know, you offer to pray with them and you know, they're offended, you know. "Why? You know, I'm good, you know, like I am. You know, I don't need that." You hear that. You see that. You know, you can tell that from expressions on faces. I know at one place where I had stopped as I was traveling to Minnesota. It was a rest stop, and I just felt like I wanted to pass out some tracts while I was there, and I went to some of the tables there on that grounds, and I was just, you know, handed out tracts, and then I went into the car and was, I guess I was eating my banana or whatever, and just kind of watching it. I could see, you know, across from me where I'd handed out a tract, and I looked at this man. I could see that he had picked up the tract. He was looking at it, and, you know, he looked at it for a while, and a little while later I just saw him holding it in his hand, and it looked like he walked over to a garbage receptacle, and I just fear that he probably put it in the garbage, you know, not realizing the value of those materials that I was handing to him, the words of eternal life that were written all on those pages, you know. And here it was, Jesus was in his own country, and so many were offended at him. And it tells us that he could not do mighty work there, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And the scripture tells us that he marveled because of their unbelief. He just marveled at it. He went to other places and was able to preach the gospel and to heal the sick and to cast out devils. But there, because of unbelief, he couldn't do much. He couldn't do much. And that's what unbelief will do. It'll hinder people. It'll keep God from restrict God from doing mighty works, things that could have been done to save individuals, to heal individuals, to work the works of God. But because of unbelief, no, it could be done. That will keep God from doing what he's perfectly capable of doing. It tells us, yes, in this sixth chapter, in the sixth verse, he marveled because of their unbelief. And then it tells us how he went round about the villages teaching, how he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. And, you know, it's a marvel. There's things I'm still marveling at, because, you know, he was teaching them to have perfect faith and trust in the Lord. In verse 8, it tells us he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. In other words, he was going to provide for them everything that they needed. And I marvel at this. You know, they weren't even to take a satchel with them, which was a traveler's bag or a shepherd's bag, a purse of sorts, where they would put their provisions inside of it and carry what they needed for that time period. But he's telling them here, when they went out by two to do the work of the Lord, that they didn't need to take them. Just take a staff to help you to walk. But, you know, no scrip, no bread, no money, nothing in your purse. Just a pair of sandals on your feet, and you know, you don't need two coats. In other words, everything was going to be provided for. And that's our God, you know, to get to that place where we could just believe him because he said it, because we're doing his work, because we're standing on his promises which cannot fail. I remember my mom and dad, course, this is before I was born, but anyway, they went to Bible college, and actually I was born in San Antonio. This is where they went to school there, and later I read one of the books by the founder of this college. He had been a missionary to Japan, and it wasn't a denominational college at that point at all. It was, you know, truly based on scripture and on the Word of God. And again, like I said, the founder had been a missionary, and they sent out a lot of missionaries from that school as a result of the teachings there. But this brother Coote had written a book, Impossibilities Become Challenges. And I read that when I was a girl. I would like to find it again, actually. And it was based on his stories there in Japan. And it told how he went from place to place, just trusting the Lord, not being supported by any particular individuals, but knowing that God would take care of him and that God would lead him from place to place, and that God would use him. And praise the Lord, it happened. This man put his faith, his trust, his hope in God, and he realized that impossibilities can become challenges. You know, and that was one of the models of this school. Impossibilities become challenges. It was called IBC, and that's what it stood for. Impossibilities become challenges. And I remember that. I remember that. You know, so often we have this tendency to limit God, to just think, well, you know, I've got to do this, or I've got to do this. I've got to have so much before, you know, I can go forth and do more. And you know, we kind of think, unless this happens, then, you know, nothing else will happen. And, you know, we just have these little, you know, things in our mind that put the limits on God in reality. But we serve a mighty God. You know, I just marvel how that when he sent them out, you know, he told them, the Lord Jesus, this is, you know, you don't have to take anything. You know, you just put your, have your shoes in your feet, a staff in your hands, and just believe, you know, that I'm going to take care of you. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And praise the Lord, you know, the 12 went out and did that. He told the 70 to go out and do likewise. It says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. Oh, praise the Lord. That was the Lord working with them, confirming his word with signs following, just as it tells us in Mark, the 16th chapter, before Jesus ascended, you know, he told those that were with him, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. God's promises. And praise the Lord, did the early church believe that? Did they take Jesus Christ at his word? Did they believe that? It tells us in verse 19 here of Mark 16. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. God standing behind his word. God standing on his promises. And if we could just get to that place in ourselves, that we can rest in Him and realize that what He said in His Word, He meant. You know, His promises are yea and amen. These signs shall follow them. You know, did they wonder, you know, if He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk, you know, is it going to work? Maybe there were some doubting Thomases that, you know, just couldn't do it, you know. They couldn't honor that word and go forth and take up that bed to rise up. You know, it was an act of faith to do that. You know, if you'd never walked for years and years and years, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to do that. But at the words of Jesus Christ, they were able to do that. Yes, oh yes, when blind Bartimaeus was healed of that, you know, that sight that he had not had, you know, it was a sign and a witness of the power of God. You know, they tried to tell him to shut up, but no, he was showing faith. He was crying out to the living God. He was realizing, no, that there was one that could meet his needs, and he was going to find that one. He was going to cry out to him. It was the only hope that he could think of, the only hope that he ever knew, and he wasn't going to waste those moments. Oh, if he could only visualize and understand and comprehend what God would do for us, we'd only honor his word and cry out and act on faith and worship him with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength to put him forth, to put him first in our lives. Oh my, to just obey the simple things that he's told us to do, these signs that he promised would follow them that believe. I know the hour is late. It's late, and Jesus, as he asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And, you know, like I mentioned, when we went to some of these cities, Portland was bad too. We just didn't feel like we could bear to stay in Portland. We just almost felt like we had to get out of there. You could feel this hardness of heart and the oppression there and the unbelief. You could just feel it in some of these cities. But I thank God for a few little folks there, oh, that we are able to minister to. A few little folks that, you know, would cry out to God and believe God. You know, there was a little oasis. It was a truck stop that we found in Idaho Falls area. It was actually an area called Eden. Very nice truck stop. And the first time we went there, and Tib was buying a few things, and there was a man just in front of him at the checkout there, and that man turned to Tim and told him that God had a work for him to do. And, you know, he said it once, and then he turned again and said, yeah, man, God has a work for you to do. And, you know, it was so reassuring. It was just like Lord put him there. You know, just to have those words of encouragement. It was just so dear. Tim really thanked God for that. He just marveled. And we returned to that place on our return back. And at this point, there was another person there at the checkout, and got talking to her and realized she had a physical need. She had diabetes, and she was due to have a foot amputated. And oh my, you know, just hearing about that, I said, lady, we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. And she said, I'll accept that, she said. I do believe that God can do whatever else that we would ask or think. I do believe in God, she said. And praise the Lord. I don't know completely how that story ended, but I'm so thankful that we were able to be there at that moment. And, you know, she had another customer right behind us. She took care of him, and we just, you know, were able to put hands on her, lay hands on her, and pray for this woman, just believing that the prayer of faith would heal her body and that God would raise her up. You know, thank God. We serve a wonderful God who's able to supply all our needs. But there is a need that we would walk by faith and be bold in this day and hour, that we would be able to stand in faith, believing that God will honor His word and that, you know, what He has said He will do. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking for more faith and more boldness, because I've just seen a little bit of trickle. I've just seen a little bit of trace. It was beautiful to see how God touched Don and healed him, and he was able to put those crutches down. He was able to walk, and, you know, even that kidney stone or whatever that was, the next day, God was able to meet that need. And these others that we prayed for, I trust that the Lord did a work. Be it spiritual, for the body, soul, or mind, or whatever, all. But our God is able to meet all needs. And I pray that He worked in these people that we met, little by little. But it's so necessary to have faith. And as it says in 2 Corinthians, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The people are out there. They don't have direction. So many are misled. You can hardly find a church that is properly leading people. In fact, I don't even know, when people ask who to recommend, I don't know where there is such a place. You know, the perversions are so great. His word has been trampled. You know, you can hardly find a King James Bible even, or somebody that reads a King James Bible. It's all like it's concealed, and that the truth is trampled on. It's been hidden. It's been lost to so many. But yet, God has put light within us. He has put light in us. These people are blinded. It talks about how the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's blinded their minds. The devil doesn't want people to believe and tremble at the word of God. He doesn't want people to be healed. He doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people to be delivered. I mean, he's leading them down the road to hell. He's got a whole bunch of people in his trap, and he can see it. He knows it, and he knows that he has but a short time. But yet, God is going to have a people that is coming. There are going to be some that give heed to the gospel. There are going to be some that we can snatch out of the fires of hell. There are some that are going to see and understand. There's going to be some that the blinders could be taken off so that they can know the living God, that they could see the light of the gospel. I think of how it is expressed in the book of Jude. And we just want to look at a couple verses here in the book of Jude. Verse 22, it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. You know, it was a miracle when I was talking to that woman. Her name was Rebecca there in Seattle. You know, at first so hardened, so cold. No, I don't want to track. Didn't you hear me? I don't want to track. Why are you asking me again? I don't want a trap. But you know what? I don't know what it was. Somehow, God put me there to minister to that woman. And somehow, God began to work in her heart. I don't know how He did it. I don't know how He did it. But somehow, that hardness began to vanish in her. And all at once, she was altogether different, and we could minister to her. We could pray with her. We could talk to her. We could read scripture to her. It was the Lord. It was the Lord that had intervened in her life and in her situation and began to change her. Oh, that's all I know. These other individuals, you know, I don't know how the Lord did it, but, you know, he put us in certain places at certain times so we could, you know, we could talk to that man out there in Montana who, you know, was seeking God. He put us right there so that we could minister to him for that moment and pray with him and lead him as we could for that moment. And again, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I'm really surprised who it is. I know I was at a AT&T store and gave a tract to a young man who politely helped me, and I didn't think he looked like a Christian at all. But, you know, he lit up when I gave him a tract. He said, "Oh, it's really good to see somebody passing out tracts again." You know, I was walking yesterday, and, you know, I usually take a few tracts with me, and, you know, I gave a tract to a woman, and she lit up again. She said, "Wow, I'm a Christian too." And you know, we began to talk, and who knows what the Lord will do. But, you know, we need to do it by faith. We need to have boldness in this day and hour. We don't know who we can help. We don't know who it is out there. You can always tell by their faces. You can always tell by their expressions what they will hear and what they will not hear. You don't always know. Sometimes people I think are likely to accept a tract do not. I've been startled sometimes. But praise the Lord, there's somebody out there that we could reach. You know, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But praise the Lord, there's the light of a glorious gospel that has shined onto our heart. You know, it's something that has changed us, something that has given us hope. If we can just present it to somebody else, this world that is dying, this world that is without hope, if we could just give the good news to somebody else, who knows? We may snatch that person out of the fire. Praise the Lord, we might do that. And I just thank God. I just thank God that he goes with us. You know, if we'll reach out in faith and we'll begin to do a work for him, you know, it may seem, you know, crazy. It might seem strange. But, you know, if we could just do it by faith, we'll see that God honors his word. He honors his word, and not only to save, but to heal, to deliver, to set free, to break the chains of bondage, to loose the prisoner from the devil's grip. The Lord is able to do it, even in this last day, this late time period before the coming of the Lord. I believe God is going to have a people. If we'll only reach out and see whose life maybe we can affect. You know, so one day, you know, we're going to have some fruit to offer to the Lord when we stand before him. You know, we can have, you know, somebody to come and stand by us, you know, that we brought to Christ. Oh, I thank God. I just thank God. I thank God. He knows how to go with us. He knows how to keep us safe. He knows how to conceal us, to hide us, you know, to make us invisible if he needed to. You know, he knows how to deliver us on the highways and byways. Oh, wow. He knows how to keep us well. There's nothing too hard for our God. But praise the Lord, it's up to us to reach out in faith and to do what we can before this is all over, before the end is upon us. And praise the Lord, by our God, we can do it. With faith in our hearts, we can do it. He came to seek and to save those which are lost. And by his grace, we can play that role too, to bring the Savior to those that so desperately need him, and to see who we can snatch out of the fire. Praise the Lord, before it is too late. Amen. Let's just pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, what you've done to us, you've done for us, Lord, your goodness. Oh, Lord, the ways that you lead us. And I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to hearts. Oh God, that you would lead people to, yet while there is time, before that curtain of time closes, Lord, I pray that there would be people that come to you, Lord Jesus. I pray that there would be responses. I pray that there would be hearts that are turned to you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would use us, God. Oh, God, if we could just say, here I am, Lord. Use me, Lord. Here I am, Lord. It's not because of my talents and abilities, Lord, but because you are in us, Lord, because you have shown that light, oh, God, into our lives. Oh, God, the light of the glorious gospel, you come to us, Lord. I pray that you strengthen us, that you talk to us. Oh, God, that you lead us and guide us. And show us, Lord, for, oh, Lord, we know that you will prove yourself if we will but stand by your word and go forward and believe you, God. Oh, God, for you see faith and you honor faith. And, oh, God, give us that faith that we need to do your work. Yet, while it is day, oh, God, because that night is coming when no man can work. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. Pray that you'd help us now, oh, God, as we commit all things unto thee. Oh God, and oh God, let that day star rise in our hearts. Make us alive, oh Lord, make us a fire for thee, Lord. Oh God, make us strong for thee, make us bold for thee. Oh God, help us, Lord, for we bring it all to thee in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to close with a song tonight. If you can find your hymnal, I believe it's number 135 I'm looking for. I'm just going to double check that. Yep, that's correct. 135 in the Melodies of Praise hymnal. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. In Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease.
Jesus, simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.